Oh. Before we get started, let's stand up. We're going to worship for a few minutes. I want to, Kathy and I and my family want to thank you. My sister went home to be with Jesus a week ago, I think Wednesday, in that area. She'd had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and then she fell, and they discovered that she'd had a brain bleed that had been a few years old. And so she just was in hospice for a week. And I was able to go down with her and be with her on the Monday before she passed. But she was born again, spirit-filled. So she's worshiping Jesus in heaven. But thank you for being so supportive of your pastors. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence this morning with thanksgiving. And Lord, we purpose. We prepare our hearts even now to enter into worship that we might lift up, exalt, and glorify Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and Jesus, our soon coming King. We give you glory this morning. Amen.
What's in your heart this morning? Is it hope? Is it expectation?
Amen.
Put that first slide up. Is it worship?
Amen.
Time to lay down our fear, worry, anxiety, cares, concerns. Stress, strife, doubt, confusion. If we're going to enter into worship, let's make our hearts ready.
Can you see it? He's got your healing. Oh, come receive it. Receive your freedom. Oh, can you feel it? Heaven is reaching.
that again. Father, move us. Spirit, lead us.
Father, move us. Spirit, lead us. Father, move us. Spirit, lead us. Never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up, I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I love your voice. Led me through the fire. On your side, you were close like no other. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Every voice in a heavenly song, and sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. Lift every voice in a heavenly song. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Sing to the up my voice in a heavenly song, and worship my Lord. I worship my Lord. Lift up my voice in a heavenly song, worship my Lord, worship my Lord. You are worthy. It's you are worthy. You alone are worthy. Worthy are you.
Jesus, this morning we do declare that you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. And we thank you, Spirit of Grace, that you're in the house today to lead and guide us into truth. And so, Lord, we purpose to receive from the living Word of God this day our Lord and Savior Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Before Kathy comes, I want to do something. Elena, I want you to come. Where's she at? Oh, she's not here today. Okay, I was going to pray for her. We'll pray. We'll get her next time. Amen. I always pray for the graduates. Amen. How many of you know you need prayer even after you graduate? Amen. Come on up.
Quick announcements. There will be no Patriots United this Tuesday. There's a lot of political activities going on leading up to the election. There's some candidate meetings this week. If you're interested in some of them, see Tony or Steve. There's an epic option thing at the Capitol this week. Talk to Steve if you're interested in that. But whatever you do, make sure you're informed and make sure you vote. It's very important. Amen. This Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is prayer. We're going to pray. Next Sunday is Donut Day from 9:15 to 9:45 on the first Sunday of the month. We have donuts and coffee and fellowship, so invite you to that. And then one other thing, on this summer, we used to have a thing called Fun Club Fellowship, and it was for kids, and on Wednesday nights we just fellowshiped and did fun things, and we're kind of want to reintroduce that. We've been doing a little bit here and there, but on Wednesday, June 5th, we're going to have a family night for family, fun, fellowship, and food. Lonnie is going to fry fish, so we better be believing for him to get some big, get a lot of fish, okay?
Walleye.
Mike wants walleye, okay. And Jessens are going to bring their horses. That we did that a few years ago, and it was a hit. So they're going to bring horses, and we're going to ride horses in the back and have games and all kinds of things. So mark that on your calendar. We encourage you to participate in that. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. I had prepared some things for the offering, but something else was quickened to me, so we'll do that. But what I want to do, first of all, is in 2019, when it flooded and we experienced the flood, we had people just bless us. I mean, it was unbelievable. And so our hearts go out to all the people that have been affected in Nebraska by the tornadoes. So we want to bless them. We'll receive this morning's tithes and offerings, but at the same time, we're going to receive an offering for the tornado victims. And so if you are interested in that, you have your envelope, put your regular tithes and offerings under general fund, and down where it says other, you can put tornado. Now, this is what we're going to do. Orphan Grain Train is outstanding at having wisdom of where to give it, making it very effective, and getting it into the hands of the people that really need it. So what the finances that we raise, we're just going to write a check, take it to Orphan Grain Train, and let them distribute that. There may be some things and people you want to give to specifically, and we can do that at a later date. But if you're interested, make sure and do that and fill that out, if you would, please. So I was thinking today about all the things that have gone on this week. And I think for a lot of people, it hasn't been the best week. And early in the week, Kaylee posted a thing online about when things get really tough. It's usually right before a victory. And that's very true. When things get really tough, it's right before a victory, because that's when the enemy will come in. And we use the scripture about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we need to stand and resist in the evil day. And I believe that's where a lot of people have been this week, not only in the state of Nebraska, but here in this congregation. And so the scripture that I I got was in Isaiah 59, 19, starting in verse 19. It says, "And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." So when the enemy, and you can, that how that is interpreted and punctuated can mean different things, but I believe that this is the way it should be read. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I've been born again for, God, a long time, over 50 years. And we've been through some good times and we've been through some rough times, but I'm telling you, God never forsakes you.
Amen.
He's always with you, and He will get you through whatever you're doing. God is a good God. He has your interest in mind, and He is above all the demon forces that are trying to stop what you're doing. God is a good steward. He loves you, and we will get through this. You will get through this, and I just want to encourage you. So I'm going to pray this morning, and then we'll receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Father God, your word says you would never leave us nor forsake us, that we should not be afraid, Father God, that you would uphold us, you would strengthen us, and you would help us. Father, your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard. I thank you for that standard for this people, this day, for the people of the state of Nebraska. I thank you, Father, if you be for us and you are, who can be against us? That no weapon formed against us will prosper, and any evil thing that rises against us in judgment will be condemned. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, and that if we seek you first, Lord God, you will make sure we're taken care of. So, Father, we thank you for that. We believe that. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing this people exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we might ask or think. Because, Father, when we tithe, the devourer is rebuked, the windows of heaven are open, and blessings are poured out upon us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We receive it. And we believe it in Jesus' name. Ushers, you may go ahead and receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God.
Amen. I'm glad that you're all here today, aren't you? Amen. I do want to encourage you, and I was so glad that Kathy encouraged you today through the Word. I want you to understand that, you know, there are going to be days in the future that you're going to have to use your authority. And there's going to be days that your emotions will want to take over. This week, I was praying, and I just stopped, and I said, I just looked up. I said, "Father, I'm not moved by what I see, what I hear, what I feel. But I'm only moved by your word, because the word is what's real." And so you're going to have to take charge in your life. We're going to talk about that today. If you don't like your circumstances, then do something about them. Don't bury your head. Don't run from your problems. Seek first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added on to you. We must set our affections on things above in this hour, not upon the things of this earth. Amen? In 2016, I was privileged to be given the responsibility and the stewardship of going through a warehouse in Norfolk that had been there probably since the late teens or the early 20s. And it was full. It had been used as a warehouse for Andrews Van Lines. It was Clayton's dad's, and that's where he stored things. But the problem is, once the war, World War II, broke out, they left everything. And so everything was left in that building for 75 to about 90 years. It took me over 3 months to go through it. You know, I brought home fleas to the dog. Caleb was bit by a recluse spider. Was it worth it? Oh, yes. Junk's always worth it, isn't it? But I'll never forget, every time I'd go in there, I would always pray that God, if there's something in here that I don't see, point it out to me. And one night it was getting dark, and there was no electricity because of fire and everything. And it was getting dark, and I had a flashlight, and I said, Lord, I prayed that prayer, and I looked, and on the wall towards the floor, I saw something red. And I got to explore, and I took a flat screwdriver, and lo and behold, this was Prohibition, because of alcohol. This was a non-alcoholic beer sign. It was about like this. And it was, I think it was Klug beer. I don't remember what it was. But it was beautiful. That sign had been hidden there, and that sign was worth $200-$300. But I got to looking. There were about 18 of them lining the wall, and they used them for insulation. So I took all them beer signs. And boy, did we sell them. Amen. But every time I went in there, I found something. And all those treasures that I'd found had been there from the 20s. And this was 2016, so do the math. Nobody knew a lot of this stuff was even there. One wall I took off was a bread sign. And so I went through that with a fine-tooth comb. Now listen to this statement, because this is what we've been talking about. Spiritual authority is the true possession of every believer, whether he or she knows about it or not. In this hour, God's delegated authority must be exercised and enforced in order to advance God's kingdom. Amen. Now, all that treasure, all those antiques, all those things had been there. Nobody knew about them. Was there still value? Yeah. Could they have been bought and sold a lot earlier? Yeah. There were four portraits from this family from 1842. It's been sitting in the dark all those years. But it's the same way with the authority that God has delegated to you and I. How many of you would say Jesus is your Lord? You're a born-again believer. Well, you have that authority. Whether you know about it or not, it's there. But you have to do something about it. Just like I had to roll my sleeves up and get busy and uncover all those treasures, you and I in this hour are going to have to discern and recognize what's in us and what's been delegated to us from God the Father. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, it says, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Who's he talking to? Yes, his disciples, but who's he talking to? You and I. Say, I have authority, whether I know it or not. Amen. Now, we've established this. Number one, walking in authority or dominion requires responsible stewardship. Number two, we said walking in authority requires godly character. Amen. Character and stewardship are vital. Now we're going to touch on one more, then we'll go on next week along some other line here with authority. But listen to this statement I'm going to make to you. God is a God of order. Say that. God is a God of order. And he's delegated his authority to you and I as believers to put things in order and keep things in order. Who's supposed to do it? We are. How many of you know what's a policeman do? He's authorized, is he not, to keep things in order. You and I are authorized spiritually to keep things in spiritual order. Why is this nation in the condition it is? Because the church has not exercised authority and dominion. That's why we've got all these outlaws and idiots in places of authority that do not belong there. That's why we're having to work real hard right now, aren't we? And press in as believers to deal with all of that wokeism. Amen. Let me read to you from Brenda's devotion. This applies to today. It's entitled, The Dominion of the Living God. So take dominion now and keep your righteous stand against the darkness of this world, for though the spirit of the Antichrist would attempt to intimidate you, I am the living God of dominion and I will rescue you. Then she quotes Daniel chapter 6, For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who's delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. God created man to be a ruler. In Genesis 1:28, God told Adam to have dominion over everything. Amen? Dominion means to take the authoritative position, to tread down and dominate. Adam and Eve fell prey to the devil by giving up their dominant position. They forgot that God was backing them. Isn't it good to know God's got our back? They could have stood up to the devil and he would have had to back down. Instead, they became intimidated and took a submissive position to the devil. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he could have easily been intimidated and squelched his stand for God. During his years in Babylon, Daniel always took his position of dominion by openly serving God. He wasn't afraid to pray publicly. Amen. Knowing a law was written against it, it looked for a short time like Daniel was doomed to the lions for taking that kind of dominion. However, his refusal to be intimidated caused God's dominion to be released, and it delivered Daniel from the lions. Take dominion for righteousness today, even though the darkness of the world may try to intimidate you. When you do, surely the dominion of the living God will rescue you always. Amen. Now, God is a God of peace and a God of order. Say, God is a God of peace and order. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. How many of you like peace in your family? How many of you like order in your family? Amen. Some of you, the spirit of Barney Fife needs to come on you. Get that gun out and that one bullet. Take charge. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, if you're going to read this in context, it's dealing with spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues or prophecy. But if you'll jump down to verse 33, I'm going to read it from the New King James, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Now, how many of your Bibles says confusion? Let me see your hands. Okay. Does it have a little number one by it? Well, look over in your margin, in my Bible anyway. For the word confusion, it's disorder. So God is not the author of disorder, but of peace. Do you know why we're going to see the world run to the church in the days ahead? Because outside there's disorder. But in the church of the living God, there's order. Why should you and I and our families and our neighborhoods have such an influence upon them? Because they sense and they see order in your life. The sad thing is, many people, unbelievers, can't tell the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Because they're blending together, and it should not be that way. Amplified says, "For he who is the source of their prophesying is not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order." See, when you have order, now listen, when you have order in the home, when you have order in the church, there'll be peace. I wanted to find this, but I didn't have time. There's a Christian comedian, and he did this thing about, he was on the worship team, and this is a true story. A woman came in the church with a tambourine. And you know, I got the thing, and I've had that happen too. Total stranger walked into the church carrying a tambourine, and I'm going, oh my goodness, what are we in store for? Sure enough, she shook that tambourine. She didn't ask the pastor if she could shake the tambourine. She just took it upon herself that I'll just come into this church. I don't even know these people. I don't know this preacher. I'm just going to shake my tambourine. Well, this comedian talked about this. They had this woman come in with a tambourine. There's just something about tambourines. It's equated with lawlessness. And so, true story, this gal came into this church, and she came up front and started shaking her tambourine. Now, if that happens here, my ushers have been told they can tackle that individual and throw their carcass out the front door. But what happened was, I guess the gal, and I'm pretty sure this was the way he was telling it was a true story, she wouldn't quit. She says, I'm going to shake my tambourine. Well, they got her out, carried her out, and they must have had the taser or something. So all my security and ushers now have tasers. Bzz, you get out of line. Bzz. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. No, okay. Would you call that disorder? That's disorder. And God's a God of order and what? Peace. Verse 40, it goes on and it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." This word order in the Greek carries the idea of something done in a fitting way or something done according to order. Rick Renner says this, and he quotes this Jewish historian, Josephus. You've heard of him before, I'm sure. He used this word, it's called, in the Greek it's taxis, I believe that's how you pronounce it, when he recorded the orderly way in which the Roman army erected their camps, indicating their camps were orderly, organized, and well-planned. The commanders didn't engage in last-minute planning. Don't you hate that when you have to do last-minute planning? Their camps were not hastily thrown together, but rather set up in an organized and thoughtful manner. Josephus also used the word taxes to describe the Essene Jews who were respectful of other people. These Jews would wait until others were finished speaking before they would take their turn to speak. Wow. Did you hear that? Maybe some of us need to hear that again. We need to take turns speaking. They were respectful, courteous, well-mannered, and polite. Like I said, let everything be done in a fitting and proper manner that is organized, well-planned, respectful, well-mannered, and polite. Wouldn't you like to go somewhere where you experience that? Or would you rather go somewhere where everyone was carrying a tambourine? First Church of the Tambourine. Now, look at Isaiah 14. I'm talking about order today. God has delegated the believer authority. See, that's just my Father in heaven saying, Pastor Mike's preaching right today. Look at Isaiah 14. Some of you will know this scripture. Look at verse 12. This is the fall of Lucifer. So if God is a God of order, Lucifer or Satan is what? Disorder. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut to the ground. Now listen, who weakened the what? I'd love to go off on that, but I'm not going to. Maybe someday. There were nations on the earth before Adam and Eve were in the garden. What's the word say? He fell to the earth. He weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, this is Lucifer, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. What would you say? What one word describes that? Pride. Here's the Father. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Now look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Where do you think all this architecture throughout the nations of the earth that was put together, how do you think that was accomplished? I'll tell you what it was. It was fallen angel technology. I'll just give you a little tidbit there. Okay, now we're going on. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now listen. The earth was what? Without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The earth was without form, tohu, T-O-H-U, the Hebrew, and void, here's the synonym of tohu, bohu, B-O-H-U. These two words describe a scene of disorder. Right? This is how these words are defined. You can define, there's other words, but I'm trying to define tohu and bohu. These two words describe a scene of disorder, confusion, and a lack of arrangement. But God brought order out of chaos. Would you agree? Now look at Isaiah 14. No, excuse me, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. There's so much in this word we don't know. And the last two or three years, I've been enlightened in a lot of things. And a lot of these things, you know, we don't make it a priority to preach. Jesus is number one. You got to preach Jesus. But I find it interesting and fascinating. You know, I think Christians should question some things once in a while. Instead of just hook, line, and sinker believing everything they hear. Amen. Now listen, this is a great scripture. For thus says the Lord, verse 18, who created the heavens. Amen. Who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in what? That Hebrew word is tohu. T-O-H-U. Who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. God did not create it in vain, or tohu. He did not create a formless, chaotic mess or a wasteland. God didn't do that. When God creates, what's He create? Good things, great things. So you can see here, there was definitely some disorder on planet Earth. Was there not? Amen. But God, there's no other one like our God. He's a God of order. And He has ordained for His people to keep order, to keep law and order. Amen? Amen. Now, for the sake of time, let me read you this scripture. Psalm 33, 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the what? By the what? In the beginning, yeah, but and God said or spoke. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Verse 9, for He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Do you see how God operates? Look at Hebrews 11. I will have you turn there. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith we understand the worlds were what? They were what? Framed. By the what? The word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. It's interesting that word framed in the Greek means this, to arrange or set in order. Say in order. To arrange, set in order, to adjust, to complete what is lacking, to make fully ready, to repair or to prepare. That's a wonderful sound. Just stop and think about that in the natural. That's what's happening in the Spirit. God's pouring out His Spirit. Amen. In this hour, not going to, He is. That word frame means to arrange or set in order. How many of you would say, you don't need to lift your hands, any other time in your life has things been out of order? You need to make adjustments, need to make some changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did God set things in order, folks? Let me ask you that. He spoke the living word. If you're out of order in your life, spiritually, physically, your thought life, you know how many of you can go through a day sometimes and your thoughts are out of order? Do you just continue to meditate on that which is out of order? No, Satan, you're a liar. You're the father of lies. I don't believe the lie, I believe the truth. And this is what the word says, devil. Now that's using your authority in Christ that's been delegated to you. It's so important we understand that. Whatever's out of order in your life, it can come back into order by the words of your mouth. Again, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now that word confusion in the Greek means anarchy, chaos, insubordination. It's an attitude or action that creates upheaval, unrest, and instability. What's that describe right now in our nation? Is that fitting? Sure is. It describes the attitude or actions of a person who creates some type of disturbance. We got a lot of people throughout this nation with tambourines in their hands right now, and we need to jerk them right out of their hand. Amen. Look at James 3. James chapter 3. You know, when I hear that rain like that, I'm always thinking to myself, oh, thank God I mowed. Amen. James 3, verse 13. This is contrasting heavenly wisdom and demonic wisdom. It says, who is wise and understand among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, demonic wisdom, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Now listen. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, say confusion, and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So where envy and self-seeking exist, where the flesh is involved, there will always be confusion. There will always be disorder. In the days ahead, now listen, we're going to see how many of you can tell the church is changing. Even this local church is changing. But we're going to have opportunities, and I'm just giving you a heads up to be forewarned, you be prepared. Amen? I'm preparing you. You're going to have people come that don't understand anything about God, and their whole life has been nothing but disorder. Think back on your life. Before Jesus, you were out of order. You get Jesus, receive Jesus, your life will come into order. So we're going to have to really be sensitive and discerning of what the complexion of the church is going to be, and not get in the flesh and get angry and be judgmental. We're going to have to deal with things. The thing with me that bothers me is, as a leader, is people are leaders that don't deal with things. They just sweep them under the rug and bury their head in the sand. The church can't do that in the days ahead, folks. We're going to have to use our authority that's been delegated to us. We are the spiritual policemen. Amen. You know, I really feel sorry for the next person that carries a tambourine into this church. All I can think of is a song from my youth. Remember the green tambourine? How many of you remember that song? That was a good song. For where envy and self-seeking, in other words, where the flesh is ruling, and that's a problem. Those people with tambourines, their flesh is ruling them, and they're not being led by the Spirit, and they have no understanding of spiritual authority. Amen. Now, I'm skipping some stuff because we need to get done. But I want to make, I'll just go through and. Matthew 21, who came in and cleansed the temple? Jesus. What did he do? He made a whip? Turned over the tables of the money changers? See, his father's house was a house of prayer. It was sacred. And he said it was a den of thieves. What do you suppose the Pharisees and Sadducees thought about that young man that just did that? They weren't too happy. But they had to be careful because the populace loved him. Amen? Now let me say this. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Your spirit, soul, and body. You're a steward of your spirit, your soul, your mind, will, emotions, and your body. You and I are called to take care and steward those things. How was the temple cleansed when Jesus came into it? Let me just say it this way. Who is Jesus? He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was the Word that cleansed the temple. It's no different today. You and I need to work the Word to keep our temples clean. Job says, declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and light shall shine upon your pathway. You have to declare. I have to declare and decree. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. And Zechariah says, shout grace, grace to the mountain. In the days ahead, you and I are going to have to use our delegated authority. I don't know why. I grew up in Mayberry. I'm sorry. That's all I watched when I was a kid. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's all everybody watched today? Well, no, not everybody, but my sons wouldn't be watching Mayberry, I'll clear you. But we have to have that Barney Fife kind of attitude. If we see, you know, disorder and confusion and the flesh, we need to use the Word, the sword of the Spirit, and speak. If you don't like the condition you're in right now in your life, and how many of you got things in your life? I'll raise my hand first, foremost. That could be called out of order. Your thought life can become out of order. Your physical body can become out of order. Your finances can become out of order. Your kids can become out of order. Why are you smiling? Do you see what I'm saying? Let's stand up, and then I'll quit. See? That's how it works. Although I've had ministers go on for half an hour while you're standing. That's not good. Psalm 17:4 says, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. The what? Word. The word of my lips. I've kept my life from the paths of the destroyer who breeds confusion and disorder. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there's power. How many of you are kings? So where your word is, there is power. Mark 11. Speak to that which represents disorder in your life. I already said that. Speak to the mountain and command order. If there's things out of order in your life right now, not just you, maybe it's a family situation. Speak order. Call those things that be not as though they were. Zechariah 4. Who are you, O great mountain, that's out of disorder and breeding confusion? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with the shouts of grace. Grace to it. So I'm telling you today, you have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have authority delegated to you from the Father in heaven to take your authority and command order. Bind confusion and loose order. Are you listening? How many of you got an area of disorder in your life? You didn't raise your hand because of me, did you? I'm going to pray over you. And then this week, If you've got certain things right now that are troubling you, or mountains, conflicts, then speak to it. Use your authority in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the people of Harvest Church this morning. And Lord, you have delegated authority to me as an under-shepherd to keep watch over the flock and to feed them and guide them and to warn them. So this morning, with the authority that I have in the name of Jesus, I bind Satan. I bind disorder. I bind confusion in the name of Jesus. I bind rebellion in the name of Jesus. And I loose order upon everyone here in every area of their existence, spirit, soul, and body, relationships, marriages, businesses, finances, their kids, their relationships. I say, come into divine order in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, quicken to all of us areas. And some of us, we don't even realize our life's out of order. Quicken to us, Holy Spirit, those areas that we need to make adjustments and changes, whether it's our thought life, the words that we speak, our everyday actions that we take. So, Father, I loose that supernatural peace to guard everyone's hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day. And I say no weapon formed against God's people shall prosper. I say they are covered with the blood of Jesus. And I say that divine favor surrounds them as with a shield. And wherever they go, to school, to work, their business, whatever, they bring order in the name of Jesus. Confusion goes and peace resides in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Before we dismiss, is there anyone here that needs prayer for your physical body? You need prayer for your body. Amen. Okay. Well, what'd you learn today? Well, I learned my wife's out of order. She better come into order. Get my bullet out, Andy. No. You know what? If you don't have a sense of humor in these last days, folks, you're not going to make it. So you got to learn to lighten up, Lucille. Any Lucilles here today? Let's forget it. I had all this planned and it's raining, so just forget it. We'll do it next time. God bless you. Go out and act like a believer. Amen. Thank you.